morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Good morning. It is January 7th, 2021. It is Friday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by the Hectic Witches Planner. So let's get your day going with a little magic. So what are we drinking today? We are drinking Midsummer Tea because I need a little summer in my life. This tea has hibiscus, apple, rose hips, verbena, dragon fruit, pineapple, strawberries, marigold, rose petals. So today we're actually going to talk about verbena or vervain. So this comes to us from Cornell Botanic Gardens. And this was written by Pam Shade. So this actually discusses the supernatural side of plants. Steeped in legends and lore, herbs provide a physical link to the beliefs and practices of people through the ages. A common element among ancient worldviews was the belief in supernatural agencies, benevolent and malevolent forms, thought to control natural phenomena such as the weather, success or failure of crops and harvests, the abundance or absence of wildlife, as well as the health and prosperity of an individual, family, or community. People turned to plants not only for food and medicines that alleviated pain and suffering, but also as a means of connecting with the spiritual realm. So we're actually going to talk about verbena or vervain today. Vervain or verbena was also known as the enchanter's herb. Has a long association with magical and spiritual practices going back in time to the ancient Egyptians, Greeks, and Romans, as well as the Celtic Druids. Vervain's primary role was to protect believers against evil spells or negative energy and to purify sacred places such as altars, ceremonial implements, temples, and private dwellings. So moving into some headlines, this comes to us from Patheos.com, and it was written by Jason Mankey. Best witchcraft and magical books of 2021. So we're going to have a list. I'm just going to go down the list of some of the favorite books of the year, and maybe you'll recognize some of them. So let's see. I haven't looked at this list at all. All right. Let's see. All right, so best next level witchcraft books, we have Autonomy of a Witch and The Witch's Path. Then we also have New World Witchery. Then for best witchcraft, magical, and pagan resources, we have The Beginner's Guide to the Occult. And there's a link to this article if you want to check it out. Then we also have Life Ritualized, A Year of Pagan Prayer, and The Poison Path Herbal. So if you're into astrology, check out the Art Cosmic, The Magic of Traditional Astrology, as well as Elemental Witchcraft. Favorite book with pictures, we have, we actually talked about this book a few months ago, but the Teshin's Tarot, which was like a picture book with tarot. Then we also have Christopher Penzack, The Witch's Hut, who actually was on our podcast. Now, favorite series, we have Elements of Magic, which has a book on earth magic, air magic, fire magic, and water magic. And let's see. Then they also recommend The Horned God of Witches. So yeah, if you're in the mood to check out some books, those are some ones that Patheos really liked. So go check them out. All right, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And then after this break, we can chat more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, January 7th. The waxing crescent moon continues to lollygag in Pisces today. Here, the moon keeps up its square to Mars while moving into a conjunction to Neptune. We still very much want to get out and adventure today, but we're feeling even less energy to do so. Maybe the adventure is internal. Find a book that takes you far away. Immerse yourself in a movie. Daydream in your diary. Give yourself permission to float away. Fighting it will only make the urge stronger. Your daily moon mantra is, self-care means giving yourself the best of you, not what's left of you. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Witches are on the go. If we are not living out our day-to-day lives, balancing home life and work, or organizing rituals and keeping track of spells, the Hectic Witches Planner is a journal-style planner that not only helps you keep track of appointments and important dates, but encourages you to plan out your long-term goals, your rituals, and even helps you pause and reflect with journal prompts. This is a planner for witches built by some of the busiest witches around. This 280-page, 12-month weekly planner is filled with journal prompts, planting guides, holiday information, moon phases, along with monthly suggestions to help you try new witchy things. Full color with bound pages, you can keep this book in your bag or tote without worrying about pages loosening and falling out. We do not have time for pages falling out. You can find the Hectic Witches Planner on Amazon. All right, so we have a question from one of our listeners, Eek. Eek says, so I've been thinking lately. I've considered myself an empath for quite a while now, and other people seem to agree. Maybe this is just my anxiety or paranoia talking, but sometimes I feel like I'm just projecting my own emotions. So is there a way to tell the difference if you're really an empath or are just projecting? What a topic. Oh my gosh. Okay, so... now, this is just my personal opinion, and I'm probably going to offend a lot of people by saying this. I feel like everyone I've ever met in the entire world is so convinced they're an empath that it feels like it means nothing anymore. And here's the thing. I know it actually does mean something, obviously. Empath means something, and it's people who... feel other people's feelings as if they are their own. But everyone thinks they're an empath. Everybody. Like people who I know personally who are, by definition, have none of the traits of an empath are convinced they're empaths. Everyone thinks they're an empath. And it's just one of those things, again, it feels like it doesn't mean anything anymore because it's just so... overused, and it kind of became, I don't even know what happened. I feel like just one day everyone who had ever been on Facebook just thought they were an empath. And these are people who I knew very well, and I knew well enough to know that they had none of the traits that are commonly associated with empaths. So that's a hard one because it is fully a self-given label, and only you know if you feel that way, and it's really, honestly, I actually just avoid using the word now. Even when I'm actually trying to refer to empathic traits or empathic people, I just avoid it because it feels like a meaningless word. But that's not the question you asked, and that's the thing, is that how do you know the difference? I mean, you either feel it or you don't. And there are those millions of quizzes you can take where it'll be like, well, do you hate being in crowded spaces? Do you dislike clubs with a lot of people and loud noises, crowds? And a lot of these traits can also just be applied to people with trauma or people who have anxiety or who are neurodivergent. And it's hard to know. And I think you either just have to either give yourself the label and then like fully own it, you know, or kind of throw it away as a meaningless label at this point. You know, it's really hard. It's hard. It's hard. But let's see what some other people said. Maybe, hopefully someone has better advice than I do. Kitsune says, when it comes to unpleasant emotions, it's an inner feeling for me. If it's my feeling or my fear, I feel a tightness around it. But if it's their feeling, it feels less clenched up. I actually have a harder time with positive emotions during challenging situations because I may want to believe that I'm projecting, but I haven't figured out how to circumvent that yet. Nick says, my friend and I have a morbid game. My friend and I have a morbidly named game called Autopsy That, where we will sit with an emotion or physical symptom and figure out where it's coming from. Sometimes we draw little charts to connect things. Other times we can just step back and can remind ourselves where these things come from. It helps us to stay in touch with our mind, body, and be better to let go of others' emotions. I often use my tarot and journaling while she prefers drawing, charts, and meditation. While she prefers drawing, charts, when we are really stuck, we always talk it out with each other. It's not always easy, but the more you practice, the easier it gets. I really like that. I really like that idea of when you have an emotion, sit with it and try to figure out where it's coming from. I think that's a really healthy way to look at it. Andrea says, yes, I journal this way also to figure out the mundane reasons first. Then secondly, write a list of things I want to accomplish. This list will include time for my brain to relax as well. I do not think of myself as an empath, but I do know my anxiety will cloud my intuition, and I don't want to inadvertently manifest something bad for worrying too much. Lilith says, for me, other people's crap starts with low-level anxiety before it gets into them. It's like a resistance in my mind before it pops through. Most of the time, I feel it and I can remove myself or block before it's too intrusive, but it's almost impossible to stop in large crowds that are milling around. Movie theaters, plays, concerts, anything with a stage that people focus towards is a much easier situation for me. So I think those were really helpful advice, much better than my little rant about what does it even mean anymore. And again, it's just, I think it just comes from, for sure, from me. I think it just comes from the frustration of words being so overused in such a meaningless way that it just, I don't know. I like when words mean things, you know what I mean? And then like, anyways, no one cares about that. We're just going to move on. We are going to do one of our journal prompts. Let's see what we have. This is hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil, and do no evil. Pick one. And why did you choose this one? So this is a little bit more of an esoteric kind of thought experiment. So I am absolutely in love with the four monkeys of the hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, and do no evil. I don't know why. They've always have... I'm so sorry. I'm so annoying today. I'm so sorry. I'm yawning. I'm skipping over my words. I think I just have brain fatigue. I apologize. So I've always loved the Four Monkeys. And I think a few months ago, we actually did a whole thing about the monkeys and the traditions and where it comes from. But I've always just been fascinated with this, and I don't know why. So I guess let's put it in a less esoteric way and more of a literal way. If you could hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil, or do no evil, which one would you choose? And it's interesting because to hear no evil, it's almost like toxic positivity in a way, like shielding yourself from the bad things doesn't mean the bad things aren't happening or the bad things don't exist. So I don't think I would pick hear no evil. Now speak no evil. And a side note, I know this is not what the tradition's about. This is just a fun writing experiment. Speak no evil. Now see, that is interesting because you wouldn't be able to gossip or, spread misinformation. But what if you needed to speak of evil someone else was doing to warn people, right? Like, wouldn't that be important? And then we have see no evil. This kind of goes back to the hear no evil thing. Like, do you really want to be blinded by to the truth? And then finally, do no evil. I think at the end of the day, I think do no evil is the one I would pick. Because I would rather hear it, speak it, and see it, but I would rather not do it, if that makes sense. Huh. But yeah, this was really just a weird one that really wasn't meant to be too literal or too, it was really meant to be a little bit more esoteric-y, a little bit more freeform thoughts. So interesting. But if you do ever want to learn about our favorite monkeys, the wise monkeys, there's actually 4 of them. Let's see. I think there's a Wikipedia about them. Yes, the 4 wise monkeys. So real quick, I will share it, but we have gone in depth on this on past podcasts. The 4 wise monkeys shows a black flag of 4 wise monkeys. Together, they embody the Japanese proverbial principle of see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. The 3 monkeys are Mizaru, covering his eyes, who sees no evil, and Kikazaru, covering his ears, hears no evil, and then Iwazaru, covering his mouth, speaks no evil. But there is a 4th monkey. And let's see if we find him. Everyone forgets the 4th monkey. And then the 4th monkey, Shizaru, symbolizing the principle of do no evil, is forced into covering his abdomen and crossing his arms. I really love it. And you can find quite a few websites that talk about the intricacies of the traditions, but we have talked about it before. All right, witches, we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. Are we? Yeah, because obviously I have brain fog and I'm sure you're all sick of it and I'm yawning up a storm, so let's move on. I do want to give a shout out to listener Amanda Wilson. Amanda, you fair, wicked Valkyrie queen. Fair and wicked. It's interesting. I also want to give a shout out to listener Bia Frias. Bria, you mystical, bombastic butterfly. And then finally, Pietra Simmons. Pietra, you bedazzled, sophisticated spider queen. And I do want to do a card pull before we leave today. Our card today is the Deer from the Cosmic Creatures Oracle. The Deer is, I'm finding the page, is all about gentle vigilance and innocence. Compassionate and kind, the deer gently nudges you to acknowledge all of your sensitivities as strengths. As a natural peacekeeper, the deer creates harmonious environments and relationships for all beings to work in together. Like a gentle beam of sunlight through the branches of the forest, the tranquility of the deer is available when we receive the blessings of Mother Nature. As simple as they may be, these gifts are bountiful, and the deer steers you toward your own forest, the happy place you can return to whenever you need to regain your sense of peace. The deer's antlers fall off its head and grow back several times over the course of its lifetime, symbolizing regeneration and the new chapters that we enter as we mature and grow. Although gentle, the deer is vigilant and assertive and asks you to stay awake to attacks and defend yourself when necessary. Give your heart to those who deserve it. All right, witches. That's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources, or anything else we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description. I hope you have a wonderful day, and we will talk again next week.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find The Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.